Helene Smuts is a leadership facilitator, coach, and expert in behavioral psychology with over 15 years of experience developing leaders and high-performing teams. Helene has worked globally, focusing on tech and manufacturing entrepreneurs to foster sustainable business growth. Her thought leadership has been featured in platforms like Newsroom Africa and events like the Standard Bank Top Women Empower Her Conference 2024. She has earned accolades, including the Global Chairperson Award 2023, and leads Credo with a mission to help leaders exceed performance potential. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Maggie. It's good to be with you.
What inspired you to pursue a career in leadership facilitation and behavioral psychology?
It's interesting. My academic career started off with studying BCom tourism management. And part of my main subjects was industrial psychology. And I found that really interesting because I come from a minister's background. My mum and my dad both were ministers. And with that, you can imagine growing up in that house, my dad was always counseling people and seeing people. So there was always a deeply rooted interest in psychology. And I always thought I'm going to go into tourism, which I didn't. Well, I was there. But I guess the topic of leadership in the workplace and psychology in the workplace really grabbed my attention, also having the background that I had with my parents. So that's kind of, and then it started off with one-on-one coaching, and then it moved to group coaching. And from there on, it moved into, you can imagine, as you grow in your career, started off with working with administrators and entry-level employees. And then as I also grew, it moved into now the leadership and executive teams. So it's been quite an organic, not really planned.
Now, how did your background in industrial psychology shape your approach to leadership development and coaching?
I think the background in industrial psychology is merely the foundation. It was great to have that as an academic background, I have to say, because it taught me quite a few things. But I think the approach to leadership and coaching really came from when I started in 2007 and all the experience that came with it. Of course, the background in it helps a lot, but it was really the actual experience. Having worked in different companies myself and then having worked with clients in this space is actually what changed my approach. Not changed, but kind of molded my approach to leadership and to coaching. Yeah.
Having worked globally across multiple regions, what are some key leadership challenges you have observed across different cultures?
Yeah. I actually just got back from Germany and we had one person from Ohio, one person from Texas, and trust me, they are like two different countries.
Yes.
One person from India, one person from the Netherlands, one person from South Africa, and one person from Germany. So I'm sorry, I'm laughing. So it was very fascinating. But it's interesting because we in South Africa, I see a lot of deep resilience and a focus on innovation and needing to make a plan. And not just South Africa, but in Africa, if you can think about it, also Namibia and having worked in Tanzania and Kenya. And sometimes that resilience and innovation comes from necessity, where if you and that holds a different way of leading people and being in a team than, for example, if you are in the States where it's not so much from necessity, but just the real willingness and need and drive to disrupt. So they both can have innovation, but it comes from different angles. And that's where people then sometimes have a bit of conflict. And then you can imagine with this disruption and innovation, and if you then work in the European cities, not all of them, all countries, that there's a lot of tradition and structure and, you know, not very willing to bend the rules always in a team. And it's fascinating how those cultures work together. And for example, if especially in South Asia, Pakistan and India that I've worked with and a few other countries, the focus on cultural sensitivity and patience and not being direct but landing your message in a different way versus how sometimes I don't know how it's in Namibia, but sometimes in South Africa, we are seen as quite aggressive. Just in terms of how we speak and how we ask for something versus how, for example, in those other countries, it's frowned upon if you so have that aggressive tone.
Yeah.
So it's fascinating working across these different countries. I love it. It's especially when you have all of them in one team.
Never a dull moment.
No.
Now, your expertise spans transactional analysis, insights discovery, and coaching. How do these disciplines complement each other in your approach to leadership facilitation?
It actually marries quite beautifully, if I can call it that. So from transactional analysis, that is really understanding your own, whether you're a leader or a follower, doesn't matter. But it helps you to understand your own communication patterns and behavioral patterns, and also understand other people's communication patterns and behavior. So just from understanding about yourself a bit more in terms of how you show up and how you react and respond, that obviously has a very big impact on how you lead, how you are with people. Then bring in the personality profiling, and we do Enneagram and Insights Discovery, and those are the two main ones. Oh, and Six Working Genius. Those are the three main ones we focus on. But that gives you also a very big understanding around communication styles, management styles, blind spots, as well as with others. So immediately transactional analysis and the profiling work beautifully together. And then you bring in the facilitation and the coaching, which is that opportunity for people to have very tough conversations and reflect on things and share experiences so that people can learn from one another. So we sometimes don't do profiling because there's something else that is that we need to unpack in a team or in leadership processes. But these three go so beautifully hand in hand because of the leading self reflection plus how do I lead others based on who they are and kind of how what their makeup and DNA is.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you have a strong passion for empowering tech and manufacturing entrepreneurs. How do you tailor your coaching and leadership strategies to meet the specific challenges in these sectors?
One client at a time. It's fascinating how... Yes, it's very focused on those two industries. And it also depends a little bit on especially manufacturing, is it a family-owned generational manufacturing plant? Is it a new up-and-coming manufacturing plant? So those two have very different kind of challenges that they are sitting with. So it really depends a little bit on what is currently going on for the tech business or for the manufacturing business. Yeah. But why I love working with them is you are sitting with, especially in tech and manufacturing, with technical experts. These guys are intelligent beyond belief.
Yep.
If you think about their ability, the coding engineers, the software engineers, the people working in the production plant and the precision that they need to work at. But what we see is because of that very strong technical skill, is they don't necessarily honed in on the skill of working together as a team, communication, what the majority of the world will call soft skills, which is not soft because it's really common. we can see the impact that we have there because of this caliber of people that we're working with, that they all of a sudden now tap into a space that is not necessarily just cognitively intelligent, but also tapping into a space where they can learn how to communicate well, have tough conversations, giving feedback and working together as a team. So yeah, it's a big, big passion of ours to work with.
In your keynote speeches, you cover topics like execution through a high performance and demystifying trust. Yeah. How do these concepts transform team dynamics?
Sure. So I think starting with trust, we often work with Patrick Lencioni's 5 dysfunctions of a team or 5 behaviors of a high-performing team, if you want.
Yeah.
And when people actually understand the impact of trust, and trust is not just operational trust or that I trust that you are going to deliver. It is, and everyone will know now, the word vulnerability-based trust. It's getting people to trust others and trust the intent that others are coming from. And this is what we see. It doesn't matter where in the world we are, in terms of where we're working. There's this rise up of I am assuming negative intent immediately instead of trusting that people are coming from good intent.
Yeah.
When we break through that mindset, oh my goodness, all of a sudden people work better together. There's a lot more trust. People can have tough conversations just because they've let go on this, but everyone has it in for me. And that's a cultural thing as well. It comes from not just the top. Mm-hmm. It comes from people sitting in the office who are part of the team who stirs up this negative intent. Yeah. And it needs to be dealt with. Otherwise, the motivated employees really, really get impacted as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
I tweak the talks depending on who I'm speaking to and the environment, because obviously different people need to hear the message from a different angle. But it's been incredible to see how teams have transformed from where we work with a team where they can hardly be in the same room together to now where I get an email from the team manager going, I can't believe it's the same team. So, it is incredible to see things like that. I love it.
Yeah. Now, Helene, you also wrote a book called Ditch Mediocrity. Yes. What do you hope leaders and entrepreneurs take away from the book?
I think it's a very practical book. So it takes some of my favorite tools that I thought can be easily transferred without having a facilitator in the room. Mm-hmm. So it's very practical. It gives you those favorite tools that I think if you don't have the facilitation background, you can easily implement. But my aim there is really to help leaders to be their own team facilitators. Mm-hmm. I wanted to give them the knowledge and the tools that we work with. It's not the only things we work with, but those are the ones, like I said, that I think leaders can implement very easily. But you can see that, if you read the book, there's a strong tone around lean into tough conversations, give each other feedback, mm-hmm. take ownership of your own stuff and motivation, which is what the TED Talk was about, that kind of take ownership. And the feedback that we've received, it's not only leaders are reading it, and these clients of ours that have now coffee corners where they give the book to the team members because you can apply it to self-leadership again.
Yep.
But it really is about wanting to help, especially the younger generations, that it's okay to have a tough conversation and still be respectful.
Yep.
You don't have to lose a relationship because you're now going to have a tough conversation. And there's a lot of transactional analysis tools in there around understanding your own behavior, why you do it, and also understanding why people react to you the way they do.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's packed with a whole lot of tools. Some of my favorite ones, yeah.
Looking ahead, how do you see the role of leadership development evolving, especially with the growing importance of AI and technology in business?
I actually get goosebumps when I think about it. I'm sorry, this is maybe a little bit off topic, but I'm busy reading a book called The Anxious Generation. Mm-hmm. And I'm just realizing the impact of technology on our younger generation.
Yep.
And it's not going to go away. And yes, we need to embrace it and all of those things. And I'm very excited about AI. Like I play with AI quite a bit. It really is very cool. But having seen what I've seen over the years, started out in 2007 and where we are now, it's again that word soft skills, which is coming up. People don't know how to build relationships anymore. They don't know how to trust. They can have a tough conversation when they are behind a screen. So I think if you're asking about the role of leadership and where it's going, it really is about developing the skill of empathy, compassion, communication, direct communication, and having tough conversations, giving feedback, but also creating it in a way where the people that you are leading can learn from you and that you hold the space for them to be doing the same. I want to stay away from the word safe space because people misuse the word safe space because they think safe space means you're not allowed to be held accountable. And it's quite the opposite. A safe space, if you think about it, is I am being challenged at the same time as I'm being held so that I can make mistakes. Mm-hmm. But I am being challenged. And I think that ability to be challenged and then problem solve and make decisions on your own and not necessarily constantly passing the buck to someone else so that you are not being held accountable. Yeah. Those are big things for me. That I see in tech, manufacturing, we see it a lot in other industries as well. Sorry, that was a very long answer.
No, that's good. Yelena, is there perhaps any final thoughts you'd like to share with our listeners?
I think it's quite a passion topic of mine at the moment is really the whole idea of stop outsourcing things to other people. Mm. Own your own accountability, own your own motivation. I see so many often people say, yes, but my leader is not creating an engaged space. My leader is not motivating you. If you do that, you're going to lose compared to those who don't. And I think if there's a message that I'm certainly teaching my two little twin girls is that message of take it back. Yeah. Create your own engaged environment so that you can also influence others. Of course, leadership has a role. But for us to completely absolve ourselves of responsibility to others is not fair on anyone. Yeah, so that's my message, is take it back.
Yelena Smuts, thank you so much for taking time to talk to us.
Thank you very much. It was very lovely to chat to you, Maggie.